what we heard from soldiers is that there's something called the third country national, who are people who basically are from different countries, whether they're Pakistani or from Nepal, and they're oftentimes contracted to drive supply convoys to basically transport supplies across the country in Iraq. And according whether or not they're Americans who are driving these supplies or third country nationals, the security is increased for Americans and decreased for the third country nationals. So convoys, the longer they are, the more dangerous they are in terms of attacks by insurgents. And for the third country nationals, you had longer convoys than for the Americans. So one soldier in particular we spoke with said he was very disturbed to see this disparity, and it really made him question what other differences there were in the way these foreign contractors were treated versus the American contractors.
In these convoys, as well as in patrols, you had a lot of soldiers tell you in the article that speed and safety weren't necessarily an issue when it came to watching out for civilians. Can you tell us more about that?
Right. I mean, soldiers are basically, in Iraq, they are told, do not stop no matter what happens when you're driving a convoy, because that opens them up to attacks. So convoys are speeding down the road at 60 miles an hour, and if they hit an Iraqi car or an Iraqi child, then they basically just keep going and do nothing about it. These accidents are not investigated or reported. So you have Iraqis dying as a result of these convoy accidents, and they're not even being included in the final count, in the casualty count, because these accidents are not investigated. So soldiers told us over and over again that they were basically speed was your friend. One soldier told us speed and spacing were the two things that could really determine whether or not they were injured or killed. So they just kept going. And obviously this was, we were told time and time again, it posed one of the biggest dangers for Iraqi civilians.
And what about checkpoints? Did the soldiers tell you that checkpoints were one of those flashpoints of violence?
Definitely. You probably heard about the famous case of the Italian journalist whose bodyguard or whose rescuer from Italy. He was a decorated, member of Italy's Secret Service, and he was killed at a checkpoint a few years ago. This was basically one of the only stories that was reported on the news about checkpoint accidents, which are extremely common, we were told by the 50 soldiers and Marines we spoke with. They told us that, they fear suicide bombers. So if a family driving a car does not stop at the checkpoint, sometimes these checkpoints are very poorly marked. You know, one soldier told us all they put on the ground were rocks to mark the checkpoint. He said, I myself didn't see those rocks, so I can't imagine a driver seeing them. So the most dangerous form of checkpoints are what they call the tactical control points. They're the checkpoints that are hasty. They're put up in a couple of hours and they're removed soon afterwards. So Iraqis who are familiar with their own neighborhood will one day just see a checkpoint pop up out of nowhere, and sometimes will pass that checkpoint. And once they pass that checkpoint, they're pretty much fair game. Soldiers told us that they were told basically that covering their butt was the first rule of engagement. So basically that to save their lives and to protect themselves was at their utmost priority. So as a result, checkpoint shootings and killings were pretty common.
We're speaking with Leila Al-Aryan, co-author along with Chris Hedges, of a new article in The Nation magazine called The Other War, Iraq Vets Bear Witness. And Leila, can you mention what the soldiers told you about the rules of engagement, whether they were consistent?
Well, out of the 50 soldiers and Marines we talked to, many of them told us that the rules of engagement were pretty fluid, that they were simply told they were authorized to shoot if they felt threatened. Well, what constitutes feeling threatened? That was pretty unclear, and it was open to wide interpretation. So one sergeant from California told us, basically, it always came down to self-defense and better them than you, them meaning the Iraqis who were driving through those checkpoints. So there, basically what we discovered was there is a lack of a uniform policy from throughout the country, but also from service to service and base to base. Sometimes it just came down to the commander of the specific unit that was manning checkpoints. One specialist told us that he was told there's no thing as warning shots, to basically if you shoot, you shoot to kill. So really, there was a a wide disparity throughout the country in terms of what the rules of engagement actually are, besides that soldiers are basically given immunity and can really shoot and without being questioned about it. Many other vets we interviewed told us that investigations, if they occurred, which they didn't always occur, were mere formalities, that basically they would always be given the benefit of the doubt no matter what.
And that obviously would lead to differences in accountability. Some soldiers might get punished, but it seems like in many cases, when there was a civilian death, that the soldier would not get punished and maybe it wouldn't even get investigated.
Right. Well, after the shooting of the Italian Secret Service agent, Nicola Calipari, basically the military did finally crack down on accidents at checkpoints. They were told that they need to report every single shot that's fired at the checkpoint. But what that actually ended up happening, one soldier told us, is the commander stopped reporting the shootings, period, and there was no incentive for them to say that they shot them or that they fired those shots because they were afraid of being punished. So, you know, it's sort of you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Sometimes this cracking down actually leads to less reporting, and it makes the situation worse for the civilians. And in terms of transparency in the military, it also makes it worse.
The president has said that the U.S. media is spinning the war so that it looks worse than it actually is. If I asked that question to some of the soldiers you interviewed, what do you think they would say?
They would tell us that the media is actually, much of, not all of it, but much of the media coverage of this war is pretty out of touch with the reality on the ground. Because of the dangers involved with covering the war in Iraq, many soldiers told us media weren't even present when so many of these shootings would take place, whether at checkpoints or if a civilian car disrupted a convoy or even the raids. What they said is we're back here in the States and we're ready to tell our stories because we feel like the media hasn't told it well enough.
Did any of the service personnel you spoke with tell you, you know, this is the first time I've ever told anyone this story since I got back?
Yes, they did. Some of them, it's not very easy to open up and to tell stories about civilians, you know, some of them children being shot, really for being at the wrong place at the wrong time. And many of them, understandably, were emotional as they told their stories and did mention that they hadn't told it before. I can't imagine that it's very easy to repeat some of the horrible things they've seen.
Leila, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, one interesting yet disturbing finding we had in our investigation is that this concept of throwaway guns, which is essentially what many a number of soldiers told us, is some soldiers, and not many, it's probably a minority in the military. We do have hundreds of thousands of our service people serving in Iraq, but a small minority of people do this, and it's pretty disturbing, which is they carry around with them extra shovels and AK-47s with them as they patrol. And if an unarmed Iraqi is killed, they sometimes plant a shovel or an AK-47 next to their bodies to make it seem as if they were armed. So that's definitely disturbing, and it's against all laws of warfare, obviously, and it's something that I think should be investigated further.